Chapter 11. The Jewish people and their resource conflict. In the last chapter we saw a third reason for conflict, and that was the recent relocation conflict with President Trump's decision to move the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem, which in effect acknowledges Jerusalem as Israel's capital. So, of course, what's going on? The whole world is in conflict over it. This is why you can turn on the news and read in all the newspapers, even with our current administration, how Israel has indeed become an international global problem, a center of world conflict. The nearly 2,500-year-old prophecy from Zechariah is coming to pass, right before our eyes, which means, we're living in the last days. But that's not all. The fourth reason why Israel has become a source of world conflict in the last days, just like the Bible said, is because of the resource conflict. You see, it just so happens that Israel is located in the heart of the world's oil reserves and other major mega-resources that most people don't know about, that makes it a great strategic significance to all the countries in the world. In other words, they want it. And it's going to create a conflict for control. In fact, many are wondering if in fact, this resource issue in Israel will be the hook in the jaw that tempts Russia to come down from the north to start the Gog and Magog war. But don't take my word for it. Let's listen to God's.
Ezekiel 38:1-18. The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, set your face against Gog, of the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, prophesy against him and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says, I am against you, O Gog, chief prince of Meshech and Tubal. I will turn you around, put hooks in your jaws and bring you out with your whole army, your horses, your horsemen fully armed, and a great horde with large and small shields, all of them brandishing their swords. Persia, Cush and Put will be with them, all with shields and helmets, also Gomer with all its troops, and Beth Togarmah from the far north with all its troops, the many nations with you. Get ready, be prepared, you and all the hordes gathered about you, and take command of them. After many days you will be called to arms. In future years you will invade a land that has recovered from war, whose people were gathered from many nations to the mountains of Israel, which had long been desolate. They had been brought out from the nations, and now all of them live in safety. You and all your troops and the many nations with you will go up, advancing like a storm, you will be like a cloud covering the land. This is what the sovereign Lord says, on that day thoughts will come into your mind and you will devise an evil scheme. You will say, I will invade a land of unwalled villages, I will attack a peaceful and unsuspecting people, all of them living without walls and without gates and bars. I will plunder and loot and turn my hand against the resettled ruins and the people gathered from the nations, rich in livestock and goods, living at the center of the land. Sheba and Dedan and the merchants of Tarshish and all her villages will say to you, have you come to plunder? Have you gathered your hordes to loot, to carry off silver and gold, to take away livestock and goods and to seize much plunder? Therefore, son of man, prophesy and say to Gog, this is what the sovereign Lord says, in that day, when my people Israel are living in safety, will you not take notice of it? You will come from your place in the far north, you and many nations with you, all of them riding on horses, a great horde, a mighty army. You will advance against my people Israel like a cloud that covers the land. In days to come, O Gog, I will bring you against my land, so that the nations may know me when I show myself holy through you before their eyes. This is what the sovereign Lord says, are you not the one I spoke of in former days by my servants the prophets of Israel? At that time, they prophesied for years that I would bring you against them. This is what will happen in that day. When Gog attacks the land of Israel, my hot anger will be aroused, declares the sovereign Lord.
In other words, you're going to get it for messing with Israel. Now for those of you who may not be familiar with this passage, this is the infamous Ezekiel passage dealing with the last days Gog and Magog prophecy. The last days war mentioned in the Bible. It continues on throughout chapter 38 and 39 which shows their absolute utter destruction. Why? As we saw before, it deals with a confederation of nations that God's not too pleased with because they're trying to come against Israel and destroy it, rob it, and plunder it. Not a good thing to do. Again, don't mess with Israel. Now, the key to understanding just how close we are fulfilling this passage of scripture that many believe will be a World War III scenario, is figuring out who in the world these nations are that are coming against Israel. How many of you took your last vacation in Beth Togarma? Or Meshach and Tubal? Or Gomer? Or how about Put? These nations today are Russia or Magog. Gog is the personage of Magog or Russia. Then we have Turkey, which is Meshach, Tubal, Gomer, Togarma. Then there's Iran, which is Persia, some at Afghanistan and Pakistan. Then Sudan, some at Ethiopia and Somalia, or Kush, and finally Libya, or Put. So, the Bible predicted nearly 2,600 years ago through the prophet Ezekiel that Russia, Turkey, Iran, Sudan, Libya, and some would add Afghanistan, Pakistan, Ethiopia, Somalia, basically the Muslim nations surrounding Israel right now, would try to apparently invade Israel and take her out. Phew. Good thing we see absolutely no sign of that prophecy coming to pass anytime soon. Really? What's in the news? Russia, or Magog, and Putin, a Gog-like figure, is the one right now arming these nations with weapons to go against Israel. On top of that, Russia is on the move in the north again over the Ukraine issue as well as Syria. Many believe it's starting to fulfill this passage of scripture. Just turn on your news. We also see in our text the reason why Russia comes down from the north with these Muslim nations attacking Israel in the first place. It's not because they're bored on a Saturday afternoon. No. It was for plunder. They devise an evil scheme and say, hey, let's go invade Israel and plunder and loot and carry off silver and gold and livestock and goods. And not just a little plunder, but the text said much plunder. This is the hook in the jaw that God uses as an act of judgment upon these nations to get them to invade the land, so he can take them out. And boy does he ever. Here's what happens to them.
Ezekiel 39:4-6. Verses 8-10. Verse 17 and 21. And 22. On the mountains of Israel you will fall, you and all your troops and the nations with you. I will give you as food to all kinds of carrion birds and to the wild animals. You will fall in the open field, for I have spoken, declares the Sovereign Lord. I will send fire on Magog and on those who live in safety in the coastlands, and they will know that I am the Lord. It is coming. It will surely take place, declares the Sovereign Lord. This is the day I have spoken of. Then those who live in the towns of Israel will go out and use the weapons for fuel and burn them up, the small and large shields, the bows and arrows, the war clubs and spears. For 7 years they will use them for fuel. They will not need to gather wood from the fields or cut it from the forests, because they will use the weapons for fuel. And they will plunder those who plundered them and loot those who looted them, declares the Sovereign Lord. Son of man, this is what the Sovereign Lord says, call out to every kind of bird and all the wild animals, assemble and come together from all around to the sacrifice I am preparing for you, the great sacrifice on the mountains of Israel. There you will eat flesh and drink blood. I will display my glory among the nations, and all the nations will see the punishment I inflict and the hand I lay upon them. From that day forward the house of Israel will know that I am the Lord their God.
So here is the question. Do we see any signs of this hook, i.e. desiring the resources of Israel, being put in the jaw of Russia and these other Muslim nations setting them up for judgment, and are they devising an evil scheme to go get these resources anytime soon? Oh yeah. Again, just turn on your news. I want to share with you some of that proof. In fact, some of these resources Russia wants are recent discoveries by Israel. The first resource that Israel has that these nations want is Israel's land mass. You see, it's not by chance that of all places on the planet that God called Abram, later changed to Abraham, out of the Ur of the Chaldeans, it was to the land of Canaan or modern-day Israel.
Genesis 12:1-5. The Lord had said to Abram, leave your country, your people and your father's household and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you, I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So, Abram left, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there.
So again, why of all places did God call Abram to Canaan? Well, it makes sense when you look at it. As you can see, not only was it a good land as we saw before flowing with milk and honey, but as you can see, it's a strategic area for missions. The Promised Land is only 60 miles wide in some places. At its western edge is the Mediterranean Sea. To the east is an impassable desert. So, its location makes it a land bridge between three continents. Africa's only land linked to Europe and to Asia is through here and vice versa. So, if God wanted to make himself known throughout the ancient world, this would have been the ideal place to do it from. Why? Because you can reach all Europe, Asia, and Africa all from that one spot. It's a strategic land bridge that connects them all. And that's why Israel was to be a light unto the Gentiles. That all peoples on earth will be blessed through you, that is, the Messiah would come and the news of the Messiah would spread rapidly from that one location. God knew exactly what he was doing when he placed him there. But, historically, Israel has also been a strategic area for invasions. Since Israel is the strip of land that connects Asia, Africa, and Europe altogether, it makes it great not only for missions but for trade. It's the ultimate trade route for all these continents. And so, if you wanted to own or control these trade routes, you had to own or control this area. And that's what we see throughout history, even biblical history. As you can see that the Assyrian Empire needed to go through there, the Babylonians went through there, the Persian Empire had to go through there, Alexander the Great and the Macedonian Empire went through there. Even the Roman Empire needed to go through there to control the area, and so it is today. This is why Israel is such a valuable land today. This is why she is such prime real estate. If you want to invade other countries and control the trade routes, you have to go through Israel. And this is exactly why Ezekiel said this as well.
Ezekiel 5:5 This is what the Sovereign Lord says, this is Jerusalem, which I have set in the center of the nations, with countries all around her.
In other words, it's a strategic land mass, and this is why so many countries throughout history, even today, have wanted to get their hands on it, like this video shares.
Stratford.com, founded in 1948, Israel is located on the eastern shore of the Mediterranean Sea. The country borders the Gaza Strip, the West Bank, Lebanon, Syria, Jordan, and Egypt. Israel's territory has historically been a magnate of great powers from the Romans to the British. For Mediterranean power, it serves as a strategic land bridge, and for eastern power, control of Israel is necessary to secure its flank. Israel contains parts of four distinct topographical regions. The Negev is an extension of the Sinai Desert and accounts for more than half of Israel. The coastal plain begins at the Gaza Strip and continues northward towards the border with Lebanon.
The hill region extends from the foothills of Mount Hermon to south of Jerusalem.
The Jordan Rift Valley follows the length of the Jordan River and continues down to the Red Sea. Israel also claims 2/3 arts of the Golan Heights, a strategic plateau. The country's core is the coastal plain and the hill region. Over 3 million Israelis, 10 million live in the Greater Tel Aviv area.
Israel currently has the ability to defend itself but must obtain a posture of constant military readiness.
Gee, I wonder why? Maybe because it's a strategic land mass that so many people want. The second resource that Israel has that these nations want is Israel's gas and oil. You see, it just so happens that Israel's location is not only a strategic land mass for invasions and trade routes, but it happens to be in the heart of the world's oil and gas reserves, making it a major strategic significance to all the countries in the world who are dependent upon gas and oil for survival, which is basically everybody. And think about it. Back when Abraham came over from the Ur of the Chaldeans, people weren't driving cars and dependent upon oil and gas, but we are now. Do you think that's by chance? No way. God knew we would need oil and gas, and God also knew it would be there for our future time, and sure enough, it's adding to the major conflict going on over there, just like he said would happen nearly 2,500 years ago. In fact, it's become a major hook in the jaw for countries, including Russia, because Israel not only has some gas and oil, but they've got a ton of it. Let's start with the gas. Believe it or not, Israel just recently discovered one of the largest gas deposits on the planet. One of them is called the Leviathan gas field. Bloomberg reports, Israel is located in a region that is extremely rich in oil and gas, but it has had practically none of its own until recently. Offshore discoveries could make the country self-sufficient in energy. Elliot Gotkin reports, Israel's gas bonanza, the Middle East produces nearly 30.4%, a third of the world's oil, and about 14.4%, 15% of its gas. Almost none of it comes from Israel. But on the eastern edge of the Med that is changing. Here is why. Named after the biblical sea monster, Leviathan is a monster gas field, the biggest discovery in a decade. It contains 20 TLN cubic feet of natural gas. That is enough to power Israel for the next 100 years. US-based Nobel Energy, together with its partner, local Delek Drilling, stand to make billions. Gideon Tadmore, Delek Drilling chairman, so it is a big deal, not only for ourselves, as a commercial company, which is for sure a game changer, but I think the implication is very significant also to the Israeli economy and for the state of Israel in large. Elliot Gotkin, now Israel could export the gas to Asia, it could export it to Europe. These areas are dependent on Russia flexing its own diplomatic muscle in the process. In other words, becoming a major player in resources, specifically gas. Did you catch the dynamic that was going on there? Israel having so much gas is affecting what country? Russia or Magog? They're going to get hit hard economically. Of all nations on the planet, it just happens to be Russia, from the north, and do you think they're going to just sit idly by and let this happen? No way. This is why many believe this recent discovery might be a part of the last day's hook in the jaw for Russia to invade Israel and put a stop to it, as this researcher shares.
Recently, President Vladimir Putin contacted Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and made an offer he believed couldn't be refused. Putin offered to guarantee the safety of Israel's newly discovered Leviathan gas fields using the full might of the Russian military. Netanyahu politely declined. The very next week, on the direct orders of Vladimir Putin, fighter jets, tanks, sophisticated battlefield communications equipment and special forces began landing in Syria. Even more alarmingly, Russia has also deployed advanced anti-aircraft missile batteries to bolster their force. The question, though, is against whom exactly are these highly advanced missiles deployed? ISIS does not have an air force, so who are they meant to deter? These missiles are clearly to deter Israel, and they will seriously impact the IAF's ability to act in Syrian and Lebanese airspace should they so desire. This impressive Russian arsenal is further augmented by the ominous presence of a Russian nuclear submarine off Syria's coast in the Mediterranean. This provides Russia with the ultimate deterrence, if it were needed. Clearly, Russia is in Syria for the long game, not the short. Russia's aims in Syria are obvious: resources. Their real access to the Middle East is through Syria, therefore Putin will not let Assad fall. This Russian objective relates to Israel and the hook that God himself will place in Gog's jaw. At some point Gog will have an evil thought and will determine to invade the beautiful land to take a spoil. It seems increasingly likely that this evil thought centers on the Leviathan gas fields, an oil field so vast it could dwarf the existing Saudi and Iraqi fields, making Israel, or whoever owns them, the richest nation on planet Earth.
These oil fields sit easily within Russia's legitimate grasp.
We truly live in the days of awe.
We are blessed to see what we see today.
We are witnessing the real-time build-up of the horde that will seek to vanquish God's very own inheritance, as described in Ezekiel 38 and 39. Multitudes of the past have gazed upon these days from afar through the lens of Scripture, yet we are privileged to see these events in real-time as our present-day reality.
This horde is forming now.
The alliances necessary for Ezekiel 38 and 39 are coming to pass. Russia and Iran are already very close, and Turkey has become natural allies to Iran due to a hatred for Israel. The president of Turkey openly despises Israel, and he is a vicious hater of Israel. Then there is little Israel, sitting all alone in the Middle East.
Little Israel sitting on an oil field of immense size and almost incalculable value.
Little Israel hated and scorned by all nations of the world, openly despised, seemingly without a true friend or a real protector.
Little Israel, isolated, alone, very exposed, or so Gog thinks.
God himself on that day will stand up and fight on her behalf, and woe to Gog and his allies, for mighty is the Lord God who will save her.
Blessed be the Lord God, who has revealed these things to his servants. He has not left us alone, but has revealed to us what is shortly to come to pass. Though the world will look on these things in days to come with fear and dread, we should not. We know the end from the beginning.
Israel is rapidly approaching her appointment with destiny, and so are we.
In other words, get ready for the rapture. The Gog and Magog war could happen at any time. But that's not all. Israel not only has a ton of gas fields like the Leviathan, not to mention the Tamar, Dali, and Dolphin fields, just to name a few, but they also have major mega resources of oil. The more they drill, the more they find. And these are recent discoveries.
RT News reports, recently discovered oil reserves in the eastern Mediterranean is set to be the latest point of tension in the troubled region. At least four major competitors are staking their claim. Israel, Lebanon, Turkey, and Cyprus all want a peace, but with no clearly defined maritime borders, the fight could be lengthy, bitter, or even bloody. One investor, "I've been begging for a year, please Lord, don't let me down. Don't let me down." RT News, and finally, his prayers have been answered. The oil company he invested in reported hitting bingo underground. We are still talking about the largest amount of oil ever to be discovered in the state of Israel. RT News, but it's not only Israel laying claim to the reserves. Greek Cyprus, Turkey, and Lebanon all say that the oil is theirs. And while international laws say a country can drill in the international shelf off its coast, the fact that Israel and Lebanon have never agreed upon maritime boundaries makes it unclear where Israel ends and Lebanon begins. Daniel Reisner, Herzog Fox and Neiman Law Firm, "I know that Lebanon has its version of where they think the borderline will pass if and when we negotiate, and I know Israel has its own version." RT News, "Because the two countries are enemy states, it is unlikely there will be any agreement anytime soon. There's a joke in Israel that when Moses led the Jews out of Egypt, he took a wrong turn on his way to the promised land, bringing them to the one spot in the Middle East that has no oil. But that punchline may need to change because Moses may not have been that wrong after all."
In other words, it's like God knew what he was doing the whole time when he sent Abraham there. It's a setup for the last days. It's like it's going to start a war, become a hook in the jaw or something. And the oil they're finding is not just in the Mediterranean as we just saw. But Israel is discovering oil on land as well, including the hotly contested site of the Golan Heights. Can anybody guess who wants to get their hands on those resources? That's right. Once again it rhymes with Russia. Can you say Magog?
Will the discovery of huge amounts of oil in Israel lead to war in the Middle East? Billions of barrels of oil have been discovered in Israel, and this discovery could essentially make Israel energy independent for many decades to come. But there is just one problem. This discovery was made in the Golan Heights. If you are not familiar with the Golan Heights, it is an area that Israel took from Syria during the Six-Day War of 1967. The government of Israel considers the Golan Heights to be part of Israeli territory, but the United Nations does not recognize Israel's claim. Instead, the UN still recognizes Syrian sovereignty over that area. So now that massive amounts of oil have been discovered there, what will this do to tensions in the region? Could this discovery of oil help set the stage for World War III? And do you think that Syria and Israel's other Arab neighbors are going to enjoy sitting there as Israel pumps their oil out of the ground? Just as Israel's offshore Mediterranean gas discoveries have created an entire energy industry, so the Golan Heights oil find could also generate a new industry around it as well. But it is also going to give renewed motivation to those that wish to take the Golan Heights back from the Israelis. If oil can be extracted, it will be a huge bonanza for Israel and an enormous reason for whoever rules in Syria to launch a war on Israel. Depending on the size of the oil find under the Golan, the whole configuration of oil control in the Middle East could be affected. Who has it, who owns it, who sells it, who buys it, and who sets the price? This is why Putin has made recent attacks on Syria in an effort to jack up oil prices by increasing uncertainty in the region, and long term, Putin wants to extend his influence in the Middle East. Why? Hopefully this will allow him to keep oil prices at a level that would bring rescue to the Russian economy, which, as an oil exporter, has been languishing under low-cost oil. And if you think that's a stretch, the Russian Times is even talking about this discovery, saying it has the potential to produce billions of barrels. We are talking about a significant quantity. Everybody and his brother want a piece of the pie. As usual, war is a strategy for getting it.
In other words, it's going to create a war. Gee, I wonder what war that will be? But the article ends with an even more blunt summation. It appears that the prophetic scenario in Ezekiel 38-39 is beginning to take shape as Russia moves more military assets into and close to Syria. As Ezekiel predicts, Magog, Russia, will invade Israel with its prime motivation, to seize spoil and carry off plunder. Ezek 38:12. Oil, something the entire world depends on, definitely qualifies as plunder. In other words, the hook in the jaw is here right now for the first time in history of mankind, that Ezekiel warned about nearly 2,600 years ago. Get ready for the Gog and Magog war. The third resource that Israel has that these nations want is Israel's water. Now, as we already saw before, there's another new recent resource that Israel just happens to have, and that everybody in that region certainly needs, and that's water. When they came back into the land, they not only devised a massive system of complex giant pipes, open canals, tunnels, reservoirs, and massive pumping stations to get access to what little water they did have, but they became masters of conserving that water, and leading experts in desalination plants turning salt water into fresh water, to the point where as of 2016 Israel now produces 20% more water than it consumes. They went from having no water, to diseased water, to more than what they need. Can you believe that? And now they even provide water to their neighbors and export their water technology to the rest of the world. Which, guess what? Has become a very valuable resource that many want to get their hands on, so much so that many are saying is going to lead to war. Shocker. I wonder what war that is? Let's take a look.
RT News reports, water is life, so they say, but rivalry over supplies can lead to bitter conflict. You can see that since the mid-20th century the planet has seen nearly 180 conflicts connected to water resources. This includes both large and small-scale clashes. A lot of these in the Middle East and Africa. You might be surprised that it is water rather than oil that is fought over in the coming years. The Bible tells us that within a short distance from here, Jesus turned water into wine. 2,000 years later, the miracle might be turning the wine back into water. The problem is in some cases there is very little water to go around. Examples of possible conflicts with Syria's major water sources travel through Turkey and Iraq, making it vulnerable, while Jordan is reliant on a river where Syria built a dam. Egypt recently expressed concern over the country using the Upper Nile to generate electric power. Paula Slyer reports, in the dry landscape of the Middle East, water is a prize more precious than diamonds. In its absence, famine and drought are quick to follow. This is a region that very seldom needs an excuse for war, and water shortage just might tip the balance.
In other words, it becomes a hook in the jaw that creates a war. Over what? Water. It just so happens that Israel has tons of it, thanks to their innovations and inventions and desalination plants in the last days. Could this be another hook in the jaw for these nations surrounding Israel to invade her and try to take control, with the help of Russia? I think so, and so does the news. Again, this is happening in our lifetime. Israel has never had water like this, but they do now. Just in time for Ezekiel 38 and 39 prophesies mentioned some 2,600 years ago. The fourth resource that Israel has that these nations want is Israel's minerals. This one usually gets overlooked. But speaking of water and resources, it just so happens that Israel is also sitting on another valuable piece of real estate called the Dead Sea that people want to get their hands on. It's not dead at all. The Dead Sea contains a plethora of valuable minerals that all kinds of people are getting rich off of. Including one company called Ahava. The Dead Sea isn't really dead, folks, that's a myth.
Ahava, active Dead Sea minerals, the Dead Sea, the lowest place on Earth and one of nature's greatest wonders. The Earth's crust cracked, creating the Great Rift Valley, underground salty spring. The special climate conditions combined with a burst of underground salty springs created the ancient valley. A hypersaline lake like no other in the world, with 34% solid mineral content. 10 times more than any other sea or ocean. This mineral content held a power like no other. This is the natural magnificence of the Dead Sea. Its beauty and healing properties became known around the world. Coveted by many who voyaged to its captivating shores to bask in its skin-revitalizing waters. Even Queen Cleopatra made the Dead Sea her own private spa. For thousands of years, millions of visitors have come to witness the breathtaking landscape and to experience the wonders of the Dead Sea region.
Nature's greatest spa. But this is only the beginning of the legend.
In 1988, driven by their love for the region, and a deep passion to unearth its mysteries, the founders joined together to establish the mineral skin care brand Ahava. Today Ahava is the Dead Sea Minerals Beauty Authority, and its products are marketed in over 30 countries through prestige chains, department stores and beauty spas in addition to local and international concept stores. In the lowest place on earth, the wonders of nature are packed and delivered to the world.
So, as you can see, there's a ton of valuable minerals in the Dead Sea. And not just for beauty and healthcare needs like Ahava, but what did it say at the beginning? The Dead Sea has the richest source of minerals in the world. And many of those minerals just happen to be the kind that a lot of countries would love to get their hands on. You know, it's a hook in the jaw like this man shares.
God dug a tremendous hole in the earth many years ago to store a treasure for his people, which staggers the imagination. Yes, the lowest elevation on the earth's surface is the Dead Sea. But the way God arranged things, the Jordan River and its tributaries have been washing minerals down into that hole which God prepared for thousands of years, and in recent years it has been found to be the most valuable depository of strategic chemicals in the world. It is estimated that the potential value of the potash, bromine and other chemical salts of its water is 4 times the wealth of the United States. Any would-be dictator would take high risks to capture a treasure like this, which could furnish enough fertilizer for the whole world, and with its other chemicals provide the explosives needed to subdue all its enemies. Why do you think Russia has spent billions of dollars in helping the Arabs fight Israel? Just because she likes the Arabs? No, there is little love lost between them. Russia wants the riches of Israel and its strategic location for world domination. The Soviets would have little trouble taking it from the Arabs. In other words, they're just using them, but the godless gang in the Kremlin never took into consideration how our Creator has it all written down in his book what he plans for Israel and the disposal of her enemies. When the nations of the earth will be beating a path to Israel's door for those chemicals which mean life to them, God will judge and crush them. Yet, even as we speak, the men in the Kremlin are plotting to do the job themselves. They are preparing for a tremendous invasion force to go down over the mountains of Syria to seize Israel. For years, people have laughed at the prophecy that after God destroyed that great army in the mountains that are in the northern part of Israel, that Israel would not have to buy fuel for 7 years. She would be burning the weapons of her enemy. Only recently has it been known that the tanks and weapons of this army are made of non-metallic materials which burn like coal, to thwart the Israeli metal-seeking atomic missiles. Reuters news agency has reported that Russia has made large purchases of special archery equipment, so powerful and accurate that it can shoot an arrow through a man's heart at 100 yards, and it will keep on going. And it is no secret that Russia has also bought up large numbers of horses recently, of a type best adapted for military invasion through mountains. How wonderful the way improbable Bible prophecies are coming true these days. Who would have dreamed of a literal fulfillment of Ezekiel's prophecies of bows and arrows and horses figuring into this great battle when Russia and her satellite armies are destroyed by God in a cataclysm from the sky? Christians, this is not a pipe dream. These are carefully authenticated facts, which fit perfectly into the pattern of Bible prophecy. Let's get busy while there's still time, with tracts and personal witness, rescuing those who still need to receive Christ as Savior before it is too late. And if you're unsaved, the day of grace is still here, but it may be gone tomorrow or even today. So, repent of your sins now while you still have time, because the prophesied Ezekiel 38 war is about to come to pass.
In other words, if you're not saved, you better get saved now. The prophesied Gog and Magog war is upon us, and you don't want to be left behind. Why? Because the Bible is clear. It's about to get a whole lot worse for Israel before it ever gets better, like this shows.
In 90 seconds, Jerusalem in prophecy. 1 second, Jerusalem means city of peace. 3 seconds, yet its history runs with rivers of blood. 8 seconds, in 4,000 years, Jerusalem has suffered over 115 conflicts. 11 seconds, it is a city fraught with tension and conflict. 16 seconds, this tension and conflict was prophesied in your Bible.
20 seconds, God says, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling. Zechariah 12:2.
27 seconds, Jerusalem is claimed by 3 major religions. Judaism, Christianity, Islam.
33 seconds, soon these religions will clash and fight for control of the holy city. 37 seconds, Bible prophecy says that Jerusalem's immediate future will again flow with blood.
44 seconds, Bible prophecy says, East Jerusalem will be taken violently from Israel. Zechariah 14:2, Jerusalem will be besieged. Ezekiel 4:1-8, European armies will surround Jerusalem.
Luke 21:20.
53 seconds, these events will trigger, and occur during, World War III.
58 seconds, but there is good news. 60 seconds, Jerusalem will again know peace.
64 seconds, God says that he will again choose Jerusalem.
Zechariah 2:12. 67 seconds, Jerusalem will be the headquarters from which Christ will rule the earth.
70 seconds, and many nations shall come, and say, Come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, for the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem.
Micah 4:2. 90 seconds, be ready.
Be ready is right. Time is running out and you have no excuse. You don't want to be left behind when the carnage comes. All the signs are given by God to lovingly wake us up before it's too late. Ezekiel 38-39, Zechariah 12, prophesied nearly 2,500 and 2,600 years ago. This is why you can turn on the news and read in all the newspapers of how Israel and Jerusalem have indeed become an international global conflict, and Russia and the Muslim nations are breathing down her doorstep. It's all signs we're living in the last days. And folks, this is why, out of love, God has given us this update on the final countdown, tribulation rising concerning the Jewish people and the Antichrist to show us that the 7-year tribulation is near, and the return of Jesus Christ is rapidly approaching. That's why Jesus himself said.
Luke 21:28, When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near.
Like it or not, we are headed for the final countdown. The signs of the 7-year tribulation are rising all around us. It's time to wake up. So, this is the point. If you're reading this today and you're not a Christian, then I beg you, please heed these signs, heed these warnings. Give your life to Jesus now. You don't want to be here when God pours out his judgment upon the nations. It will be the worst time in the history of mankind, so horrible that unless God shortened the time frame, the entire human race would be destroyed. The only way to escape is through Jesus. Take the way out now before it's too late. Get saved today. But, if you're reading this today and you're a Christian, then it's high time you stop goofing off and getting distracted with this world. Let's get busy working together sharing the gospel with as many as we can. Let's leave here living for Jesus and longing for his soon return. Amen.